Welcome to the Talent Smart Podcast. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who will offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We want to explore how technology and business can improve and enhance the world. We're always keen to hear from you and let us know what topics you'd like to hear us cover in future episodes. Also, if you'd like to take part, please let us know. We're always looking for interesting and inspiring people to interview. Speak soon.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back again. Thank you so much for joining us. I am delighted today that we have Sabrina Manzaria with us. She is a change agent and the founder of Singularity. Having worked at an executive level to drive change in organizations like Chanel and L'Oreal, in 2010, Sabrina coined the phrase singulars, which we'll cover in this podcast. And it's to define neurodiversity and people with overexcitabilities, which is something we'll explore. That's intellectual, emotional, creative, sensitive and motor, and those who are twice exceptional, though people with different abilities and superpowers. So Sabrina, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really, really keen to explore this one. You know, it's close to my heart as well, so I'm very, very interested to have a chat with you. So I guess if we start, how do you define what singular is in terms of neurodiversity?
So first of all, thank you, Philippe, for being with me. I'm glad that I can answer your question on this podcast. So what do I mean by singulars? You know, today what we call about the neurodivergent people, we call them neurodivergent, which is something that is more of a medical definition. And the point is that most of these people, they tell you that they don't feel sick. They don't feel they have a disability. A lot of them. Some of them do, of course, and we need to respect that. Some others don't. And when it comes to assessing who you are, your own difference, your own cognitive difference, it is important to have a label that just, you know, puts the right name on it. And for me, singulars is something that you feel different about, you feel different from the others. There's a way in your functioning mode that is really that really creates a gap with others. And these people do have overexcitabilities. This is Dabrowski that raised this word. And what does it mean? It means that these people, and they can have ADHD, they can be on the autistic spectrum. So this is what we call the twice exceptional, but they also can be the ordinary like you and me, like having this overexcitability and having learned to live with it, but feeling deep inside that there's something different about you. And these overexcitabilities that are intellectual, what do they mean? Intellectual, emotional, sensorial, motor, and also, I missed this one, creative, sorry, imaginational. What does it mean? It means only that when these people receive a stimulation relating to one of these overexcitability, they react, they receive the stimulation with high intensity and they react in an amplified way. So imagine when you accumulate them, the five of them, the gap and the how you can react and how people can perceive your difference. So this, at the end of the day, singulars is about being having these overexcitabilities and filling this gap because of them with your environment, and sometimes, and that's the worst thing, with yourself, because you feel, why the hell am I reacting this way when everyone is cool? You know?
Yes. That's brilliant. But if we zero in on you a little bit, so can you tell us, you know, a little bit more about you, your background, and why you chose to create your company, Singularity?
My story is the story of a singular woman trying to fit into the standards. Right. So having these overexcitabilities, having this kind of fire intensity in me, and understanding that the world is not ready to accept that. So overadapting. And having spent my childhood and part of my life splitting myself into the intense part that was deep inside about who am I, why am I reacting this way, why am I feeling so different, and another side that is oh God, the word is this, that's how the word is, and I need to answer the requirements. This feels so serious about it. And so this is where my story started. And one time in my life, when I discovered that it was normal, that I was not normal, because I have this difference, this cognitive difference. I had dyspraxia, I had intellectual overexcitability, emotional, I'm hypersensitive, I'm overcreative. When I discovered all these things, I just realized, God, I just tried to put that in a box all my life, but it is there. This is the way I am. And I need now to explore these fields and stop trying to fit into the standards, because I was having two burnouts and it was too hard for me. I suffered a lot from that. And this is why I created Singularity after having a great career, I would mean, as a leader, because I just understood that these superpowers were really powerful. I worked with my teams to develop them. I hired people like that, worked on their inclusion. And within the companies I was working in, I realized this was a super, super a big difference and very important to have these skills, these math skills around me. And I created Singularity because of that, because I felt that there was so many misunderstanding. We feel this is a disability, a problem, whereas it's an amazing difference that needs to be understood, that we need to work on the inclusion of these people, and we should not tell them to be like anyone else, because at the end of the day, they are different, and we need to accept that within organization. So this is why I created Singularity, to support organization to work on the inclusion and benefit from their amazing skills.
Now, that's brilliant. And obviously, like I said, this is very close to my heart. So I'm really, really 100% behind you. And I know that we'll help organizations, hopefully listen to this podcast, to open the doors and be more inclusive on the neurodivergent and singular people, which is brilliant. In your opinion, how is divergent thinking sort of misunderstood or misrepresented in the majority of workplaces?
I think that that we have, you know, two-sided problem. People that are neurodivergent, the singulars, they don't know they are. 80% of them are not aware of their own difference. So that's the first thing. And the other thing is that it's so different from what the other people can understand, that they feel surprised, they react, they have fear when they face these differences, these behaviors. So the thing is about, for me, in the workplace, working first on awareness, because this is where there's something that can be done. I'm not sure I answer a question, but just let me know, because I can go far sometimes. This is my neurodivergence.
It's just because I think there's a misunderstanding, and the bit that I'm keen to explore is, how do we break these misconceptions? How do we break it down and make it easier for employers to embrace people who are neurodivergent, who are singular?
Yeah, so the misconceptions on neurodivergence are, you know, we today we tend to talk only about the problems, the difficulties, the disability, which is true. Of course, this is very difficult when you are on the autistic spectrum, when you have an intellectual intensity, you're very creative, you have ADHD. It's very difficult for the organization, even for yourself, you know, to be able to be included in an environment that is not fitted for that. So that's really a social disability. That's important to say that. But most of these people, they don't want to be talked, identified as disabled, because they have a lot of skills to provide, they have a lot to give. So they are disabled by the environment. You know, this is the environment that disables them, because it's not fit for them. It is not made for their difference. Imagine when you are on the autistic spectrum and you have this sensory overexcitability and people speak loud around you. You are not able to focus on your work. That's all. It's like having speakers in your ears. So it prevents you from working and from doing your job, you know. So this thing is about, for the organization, breaking the misconceptions between they have a problem and they are different. And we need to be able to understand their difference to make room for them in the organization. And on the other side, for the singulars also, is to understand that their difference may be difficult to be understood by others, and to start step by step building bridges with people that are not wired like you. So this is a both-sided work. Of course, that can be achieved easily when we work. And the first thing, as I told you, I think is awareness. Awareness is really important. Training, talking about it differently on the skill side, that's really the key for building this inclusion.
That's perfect. And I completely wholeheartedly agree with you. To give a bit of background and for, you know, the singular, and I know that you're quite influenced by, is it Kazimierz Dąbrowski? Can you tell us a bit about the theory of his five intensities and why that's relevant to the workplace?
Yes, he's a psychiatrist, a Polish psychiatrist. He lived in the 20th century. And in fact, he didn't really put the theory of overexcitabilities. What he worked on was the personality evolution, what he called the theory of positive disintegration. So what he worked on at the beginning, and this is the basis of his theory, is about having steps toward the development of one's personality until the kind of super achievement that is achieving your ideal. You know, I make it very fast, but this is more complicated than that. And to be able to, what he says is to achieve this level of to climb the steps, let's say, of the personality evolution, there are some factors that have an influence. So you have nature, so your environment is kind of nurture, where you grew up, it has an influence. You have the third factor is your ability and will to evolve and better understand yourself and work on yourself to achieve greater levels of personal realization. And the third one is nature. And he noticed that people that have overexcitabilities are having important issues and are kind of accelerators to their personal development. This is how he built this theory of overexcitabilities. And then this subject has been taken by researchers. Right now and today, there aren't enough, but there are many research that just try to assess the impact of these overexcitabilities, find, of course, the relation with the brain, how the brain overreacts, why the brain overreacts this way, and also trying to understand what are the specific, not skills, but behaviors and impact of these overexcitabilities on people and on the workplace. And from my point of view, why it's important to consider this, because overexcitability make you achieve amazing levels of results. It makes you go very far because you have a big amount of energy to invest when you have this overexcitability. It doesn't mean that you are all excited everywhere and you have a lot of energy, you know. It just means that sometimes it can be very quiet behind your computer, but you will put a lot of energy in understanding, trying to find the problems, the details, because you are overstimulated by the situation. So overexcitabilities in the workplace, when you have these people, it makes a difference in the achievements and the creativity and the innovation that you can gain out of these superpowers that these people do have.
That's fantastic. And then in sort of bringing it to real world examples, you know, as the founder of Singularity, can you give us some examples of how or where neurodiverse people have impacted on your clients in a positive way?
Of course, I have lots of examples of people being hired in a specific position. And it's important to point this out. It's that you cannot put these people in all the positions in the organization. There are specific positions where their talent zone is just improved and really brings a difference. So in specific positions, I have just one of my candidates. She went to work in a company, and the idea was to build a new department. And this was such a high level of transformation that has to be done. And we needed someone that was kind of fearless, that had a high level of energy to invest, you know, being committed to the achievement. And having this empathy also, because that's very important when it comes to transformation, to be able to understand the human impact of what you are doing, because it's not only about building something, it's about bringing people with you in the transformation. And the singulars, the neurodivergent profiles, they're very good at transformation. They're very good at change because they have this stimulation. They have this thing of, what am I going to do? And then they activate their talent zone. So she succeeded in building this department, and she did it in 2 years. And the people around her, they were so excited because she was so human. She has this empathy with them, trying to put them with her in this realization. And also the structure and the vision that she raised, that she set up, was really amazing. So everyone was happy, and it was such a big challenge. And of course, I have many others. Like we do have also, of course, in the IT department, we have many people, but it's not good to say that they are the coders. They are doing coding and it's okay. And this is all they are doing. They're bringing so much more than that. So for example, people on the autistic spectrum, they have a sense of detail that makes the code so, let's say, I wouldn't say perfect, because perfection doesn't exist. There's always human biases, but they put so much energy in doing their best to provide the best code as possible related to the problem that they have to solve, that it's just deep divers that make really a difference. And I have lots of them that that took the position and that stayed in the organization. But for that, and it's important, Philippe, to say that, we need to be open to the difference. So there were some inclusion things, the details that had to be done to allow them to bring their full potential. And this is what we did with these clients.
Brilliant. No, it's interesting there, the bit that you just mentioned, because often with neurodivergence, I noticed that there's a perception that if you're a neurodivergent, you lack empathy. And I refute that, and I quite strongly. But that's not my experience, not with my son, or, you know, and I just think it's interesting that you've got people who, you know, you work in singular people who are, you know, the reason they're hired is because of their high empathy. So that's good to hear.
Absolutely. We melt people that don't show emotions, and we believe because they are not reacting, their face is not showing emotions, it means that they don't have emotions, which is not true. You know, it's that we should disconnect both. But what we understand is what your face is showing, what you are saying. This is how we connect on the emotional side. But some of these people, they just have high level of emotions. And when it comes to the autistic people, it's very problematic, because a lot of them, and this is a problem, it's a social problem, that a lot of these people commit suicide. And why do they do that? Because there are lots of them that suffer. If they suffer, it's because they have high emotions that they cannot handle. So we should, it's really important, and this is something that I really speak about, is not confusing people that are not expressing emotions and people that don't have emotions. This is not the same. And neurodivergent, I can tell you, they have an emotional overexcitability, most of them, and they really feel very deep their environment emotionally.
Ah, that's brilliant. I completely agree. As you know, neurodiversity is something that's very close to my heart. I'm keen to ensure the world of employment, for my son Matthew, is much more accessible. How do employers make changes? How do they adapt to be more open and more accessible for people who are neurodivergent?
The first thing for me, because you can take it on two sides. You can either think that you are doing charity when you are hiring neurodivergent, which I believe from the bottom of my heart that is not true, because they do have something to bring. Or, and for me, that's the first step, you understand what they can bring. You understand what their specificity is and the value that it can bring to your organization. For me, that's the first step to make Matthew's future, your son, my son's future better, is to understand that they don't lack cognitive understanding. They have specificities. They have a way of looking at the world that is different. They are out of the box. So, and this is, you know, this is the difficulty with them, because they just feel, and you must experience this with your son, and I do with mine. It's, they just say, why are they all behaving this way? Why do they think this is normal? For me, this is weird, you know? So they have such a way of looking at the world that is very rich and different from the norm that we all agree on. So for me, this is a treasure, what they have to bring. And for me, organization at first stage, they just need to start the journey on not saying I will do charity, but saying, okay, they have a different way of looking at things. They have a different way of looking at the world of my organization. How can I allow them to express that? You know, that's for me the first stage. And the second, as I already told you, is awareness. Why awareness? Because you have so many employees within the organizations that are unaware of their cognitive difference. And believe me, I am doing conferences, awareness programs, masterclasses. I've been doing that for 5 years. And each time I have the people that come at the end of the conference and tell me, Sabrina, you talked about me. You were describing me, but I didn't know that it was a difference. I felt weird all my life, but it seems that there is an explanation to that, you know? So the most of the employees, they don't know that they do have this different, and they struggle sometimes when they are asked to fit in the box, when they are on their sensory environment that is too difficult for them to support. So there are so many things that they struggle, but they don't make the connection. So awareness for me is so important for that, so that they can you know, understand why they have some difficulties in the workplace, because we should not under-evaluate the difficulties that they may have to fit, as I told you, in the standards. And on the other side, making people aware of, okay, if you are different, it's okay. You know, avoid judgment. That's what we do. You know, we love people that are like us, you know. Oh, she's like me, she agreed on me, this is great. But when someone is showing us something that is completely different, and we don't know where this idea come from, we don't know where this analysis come from, we're just like, okay, what's the point? I don't get your point. You know, the people, they can feel lost when they are talking with neurodivergent profiles, you know. So they need to be trained also to open up their mind to their difference and not judge it. So this is for me the first step. And then for the strategy of including these people, we need workplace adaptations for sure, as I told you, because we need to build equity. If we want them to work efficiently, we need to provide tools, we need to provide support for them to allow them to bring their full potential. So this is where the companies can work on the inclusion, because the workplace is not fitted for these people. So there's a work to be done on workplace adaptations and for the individual workstations adjustments. And also there can be also something that can be done is creating internal groups to be able to start to build not a community, it depends. You know, I know in the UK communities are more accepted. In France, we're scared of communities because they can, yes, that's the union thing, you know, the union fear, you know. So communities can be scared and feared by some organization, not all of them. The more international the organization is, the more open it is to these groups, but they are very precious. And I can tell you from my experience, for having built some, for having supported organizations that wanted to develop ERGs, social groups, internal allies, this is very powerful because it comes from the inside. So when you talk about the subject and you have your own employees that are advocate of the subject, it's very powerful. So these are, I would say, the main. Of course, there are lots of things to be done. It's creating bridges with charities. That there's a lot that can be done, but at the first stage, for me, this is the most important ones.
Well, Sabrina, it's been an absolute delight spending time with you. You're such a positive force in this space, and I've loved talking to you. And I'm keen, if people want to seek you out, best place is LinkedIn, or to find you on singularity.com.
I'll be on LinkedIn. They can connect to me on LinkedIn and sabrinaminastria.com also, because I have my own personal website, because I'm a speaker, I am a writer also. So I do a lot on that field. So they can
connect. Hopefully people will seek you out and find you. And I've really thoroughly enjoyed today. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Philip. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being with you today.
Thank you for listening to this episode from the Talent Smart podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We're always keen to hear your feedback. Please let us know your thoughts and what episodes and what topics you'd like to hear us cover in the future. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We're keen to hear from you. Please let us know your thoughts and if you'd like to take part in future episodes.